I'm going to read a passage of scripture that you're all very familiar with. I've spoken out of it multiple times. And then we're going to pray and I'll try to explain what and the why of it all. So this is Luke 15. It's a parable of the prodigal son. Says Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your parables. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories you've told to convey principles in your word, God. We just ask that the depth and the richness of your word would be unveiled to us today. And it would change how we see life, God. It would change how we see you. It would change how we see one another. It would change how we see our purpose in this place. All to bring you glory and honor. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, I've spoken out of this passage, wow, lots of times, focused on the son. You know, all the things he did right and wrong, and focused on the dad, even focused on the older brother. So, typically, if I know I'm going to speak, which is when I don't find someone else to do it, I really want to hear from God. You know, it feels pointless if I don't feel confident that God is saying something to you. You know, I don't know. When special speakers come, sometimes we come to hear that special speaker. I don't. I really don't care about people. You know, President Trump could come, and I don't care personally about him whatsoever, you know. If God's going to speak through him, I want to hear it. You understand what I'm saying? I would honor the person and the position because we're called to do that, but I want to hear God speak. So I get a nice little drive back and forth to work, so I'm asking God, I want a word. And a lot of times he waits till like Saturday evening, you know, and you're scrambling for things. Well, he like spoke to me right away. And he said, you know, read Luke 15, read the story of the prodigal son. So I was talking to him. I said, what's important to you? Okay, so the title of the sermon is What's Important? And he pointed me here. So I want to look at this passage in a way I've never looked at it before and just pull out a couple things that I believe are important to God. And I'm sure you guys can find out a lot more if you look through the Word of God and just have a conversation of things that are important to him. This is not an exhaustive list. But if you'll pay attention to what's in here, I think it can radically change your perspective every day that you go on living. Okay? So, the first passage I want to pull out of this, in Luke 15 again, it says, so he got up and went to his father. Now, you have to understand what happened in the story. He came to his dad and said, give me my inheritance. When do you get your inheritance? Okay, so now he came to his father and said, you're dead to me. I'm going to live the rest of my life with you no longer a part of it. So give me what's mine. That's the depth of what happened here. He broke all relationship with his father. He broke all connection with his father, which is why, even after he came to his senses, he couldn't conceive of anything but being as a slave. He was no longer a son. He ended that. But here's the position of the father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. What had the father been doing all the time that he was gone, even though the son had died? He was still pursuing him. Okay, so what has God always been doing? He's always been pursuing us. From the moment we broke relationship, from the moment we tried to break connection, what did God do? See, the son never stopped being the father's priority. Every moment of every day, the father was looking to resurrect the son and to restore him to sonship. The father's most important priority is relationship and connection with you. Genesis 3, verse 8 says this, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Now, you all know where this came from. Adam and Eve ate of the tree they weren't to eat of, right? And corruption entered the world. All of a sudden, their thinking changed. They saw everything differently. And it made them run from their relationship with God instead of run to the relationship with God. But what was God doing? Coming after them. I want to say it again, God's priority is you. No matter how far away you try to get, he's coming after you. He's not going to stop pursuing you. Why? Because you are God's priority. God always desires relationship. Connection with you is the most important thing to God. But there is no buts. He's coming after you. Why? Because his heart's desire is to relate with you. No matter how you hide, no matter how you run, no matter the depths of wickedness you've gotten into, he's coming after you. Why? Because he loves you that much and desires you that much, and you are still his top priority. Matthew 6:33, you all know those verses, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, he seeks first you. And he's telling you, seek first me, and everything else will get taken care of. The problem in our life is we're the most important to him. Is he the most important to us? Our life gets turned upside down when our priorities don't align with the Father. What's most important? Luke 15, verse 21, and I'm not going to be long. There's a luncheon afterwards. Even if you didn't sign up, go to the luncheon afterwards. There'll be plenty of food, and you can't beat the fellowship. I'll be there. Luke 15, verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. See, as I said earlier, the son lost his identity when he broke relation and connection with the father. He went on every aspect of life not thinking of the father until he became so desperate it was death or return. When connection with the Father is no longer our priority, we're walking the path to death. I'm going to say it pretty clearly. It doesn't matter if you've given your heart to the Lord, if you choose to walk the rest of your days not connected with him, you're walking the path of death and destruction. It's your choice. But when he came to his senses, he was intelligent enough to say, you know what, I need to turn around and walk the right path again. But he still identified himself incorrectly. A lot of the church today identifies themselves incorrectly, whether too highly of themselves or too lowly of themselves. Luke 15, 22. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. What did he do? He immediately restored him to his identity. Not the identity the son saw in himself, but the identity that the father had never stopped seeing in the son. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The father restores the son because the son is his top priority. What's most important? See, here's the truth of the matter. And I think we have trouble with this, so we'll spend a little time on it. You are who he says you are. I am who he says I am, regardless of your opinion. And I've heard plenty of your opinions. I am who he says I am, regardless of what I see in the mirror. Regardless of stupid thinking, regardless of stupid feelings, I am what he says I am, period. He doesn't call me a sinner saved by grace. He doesn't call me bound to sin and death. He calls me free. He calls me his child. He calls me holy. He calls me perfect. He says, I'm the righteousness of God.
in Christ Jesus. He calls me things I can't fathom. One of us is wrong. It's the only time you're going to get me to admit I'm wrong.
He's right. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 says, so from now on, I want get this into your spirit. Make this be a declaration to yourself. From now on, I will regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, you are not of this world. Get it settled. You're not bound to this world. This world has no hold on you. You are not of this world if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You are a new creation. There is no old Bruce. There's only the Bruce that God sees. You are an ambassador of Christ. What's it mean? You represent him and his kingdom to the world. All the earthly kingdoms, you represent heaven. You are the righteousness of God. You are everything that's right about God. You are what he says you are. So this is like the perfect three-point sermon. Doesn't happen a whole lot to me. What's important? Connection and relationship. Point two, identity. You are who he says you are. To a lot of us, that can be meaningless, and we can live a meaningless life without point three. So I'm beginning to understand why it's important. See, I wonder what point three is then. Luke 15, verse 33, it says, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Now remember when the story started? Younger son's the one that said, give me my stuff. What'd the father do? Divided it between them. The older son maintained connection. He didn't change it. He was given everything. But he worked for his father. He stayed in the will of the father, except to this point. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found. See, everything that the Father has always been available to the Son. Let me say it this way. Everything God has is always available to you. Point three is stewarding the resources he's given us. Understanding the benefits of the father-son relationship. Psalms 103, verse 2 says this, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'll say it again. He forgives. He heals. He redeems. He crowns. He satisfies. And that's just the start. Lori Crane. How many of you guys know Lori Crane? How many, you know Steve Crane? Steve Crane's daughter-in-law. Long time ago, we did a series on Sunday nights. I think it went like 26 weeks on the kingdom. And she taught on kingdom benefits. And I just a phenomenal message. I don't know if we still have it on our website in our archives, but we should pull it up. I'll just touch on a couple poorly. But she said, like, heaven's health plan. There is no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. When you understand who you are and you stay connected with him, he's responsible for your health. What better physician? Or have you ever thought about what's the retirement plan? It's a benefit, right? Pension? You get an eternal life pension. You got to trade in death for eternity. You got to trade in sickness for health. You don't even have to do like the preventative stuff. No colonoscopies every 5 years, you know. None of it. It's just all good. Forget not all the benefits. We live like we're bound to this earth when the benefits are all at our disposal. The place to steward what's available to us is in this temporal existence. It's now. Why? So that the world can see we live differently. Why? Because they need to see Jesus. 2 Peter, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. I'll pause there, I think. I can be hard on people. I can sound, you know, rough and indifferent and all those things. Truth is, I'm like a cream puff. You can't have four daughters without being really mushy on the inside. I mean, like really gooey, right? I so want people to be free in their thinking. And I so want people to quit making excuses for themselves to stay entangled in the things you've been set free from. And sometimes you can come across harsh. A lot of times, the only one that's going to get you free is you. Because he's done the work. Other times, you know what? He's given you people with gifts and education, ability to counsel, ability to come alongside you and walk through things as you work through living free. But if you stay connected and you know who you are, you begin to understand the authority that he has given you to exercise the resources he's given you. The times in my life that I've gotten free of things are the times I stood up, looked the devil in the eyes, and said, no more. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going to have nightmares anymore. I'm not going to wake up to demonic things happening in my bedroom. I'm not going to lose an ounce of sleep because of you. So it ends now, and you turn off the lights, go back to sleep, and I've never had them again. I used to have some horrid stuff happen. I'd run upstairs screaming. The fact is, he's given me authority. Amen. How many? The ambassador has the authority of his nation backing him. The devil only has the authority we give him. So I hesitate when people come to me and the devil's doing stuff to me. I tell them to stop. There's truth in it, and I don't mean to demean someone's thinking, but the truth is, I want you to know who you are. You are a powerful person in this world. You represent heaven. He can't touch you. You know, can't touch us. That's just the truth of it. We have to know how to steward what's available to us. You've been given everything you need to live a godly life.
Don't come to me and say you're just bound by sin. I don't see that in the Bible for a child of God. I don't. I can't see it anywhere. There's temptations, there's corruption all through this world. We've been delivered from it. What I do see is that you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror, that you can walk above it. You may need somebody to come alongside to help you. That's good. We need each other. But you're what he says you are. He's given you everything you need. Use it to live a godly life through the knowledge, the relationship, the connection with him who called you by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given you very great and precious promises so that what? You get to participate in his divine nature. When Jesus walked around and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he was participating in his divine nature. He's given you that resource. You should be able to walk in a place when you walk out and say, they saw God. And they should be able to say, what was that that person had? And that's no boast on you. You're just a vessel. You're a container. Most of us cracked and dirty and need a little polish. That's okay. He's chose to indwell that for his glory. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Psalms 23:1, you know this one. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I'm trying to remove all excuses for us to not utilize what's been given us. That's all I'm trying to do. You lack nothing. So when I say we need $100 million to develop this property for God's glory, I lack nothing. Probably should be asking for more. If he's given us visions towards something, he will supply for the something. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 5 says, For in him you have been enriched in every way. Oh, woe is me. Oh, no, you don't get it. You've been enriched in every way. There is no woe is you. You've been given every reason today to celebrate life. Every reason. With all kinds of speech and all knowledge, God is confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. James 1:4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what's been given to you? See, what's important is connection, identity, and utilizing his resources. And they all go hand in hand to be the testimony of Jesus in your life to all those that need to see it. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. So, wrapping all this up. What is important? Relationship, connection with God and each other. Seeing yourself and others as God says, and accessing all God has given us to the benefit of others, bringing glory to God. Another way to say that, and we've said it before, is to know him and make him known. That's what's important. Concluding verses, Philippians 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus.
For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ, to know him and to make him known. That's what's important. So stand with me. Now I know we have a luncheon coming up, and again, you can quickly go over there once we dismiss. And please quickly go over there once we dismiss, because I need to lock this place up. So it would help me. A while ago, I had a business partner that passed away. And God gave me a message not too long afterwards about not wanting to be found unresponsive. So I'm trying to sense the moment as God would have it and want us to be responsive. Yeah. So I see a couple areas here that I think people need to respond to, whether it's on Zoom or here. If you don't know Jesus, you're his priority. He wants a relationship with you. If you're just not in right relationship, you don't feel connected, take the time to make it right. Don't leave. Find a place at the altar. Ask someone to pray with you. Just make it right. If you struggle identifying properly with how he sees you, spend some time with God. Find a place at the altar until he reveals you to you. I can tell you everything I see wrong with me, but I'd rather tell you everything he sees right with me. Because one way I'm pursuing what he wants, the other way I'm pursuing something he doesn't see anymore. Choose right. And the last one is, I just struggle with things, worry, concern. I don't trust. I don't know how to access all that he's given me. Take some time and ask him. Let him meet your need. Let him settle it in your spirit. If any of those things resonate with you, find a place with God. If not, I don't want you to leave anyways yet. Find a place with God. Because he wants to speak something to you. And you need to have it solidified in you. I know during this time you spoke to me and you spoke this. Don't leave without knowing what he's spoken to. So if you can put some music, Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I bless your people. I just pray that they'd understand the favor, the mercy, the grace, the outpouring of love you've put upon them. That you've called them to a standard that they can only walk through with you. I pray that they would know you in a greater way. They'd relate and connect with you in a greater way. I pray that their eyes would be open to see who they are in you. And I pray that they'd begin to utilize all that you've given them already. Because everything you have is theirs. And I pray that we as a church would grow in you, our knowledge, our understanding, and we would be a place of impact in this community. I thank you for it. I bless them. I bless the food that's being prepared now. And I thank you for the time of fellowship that's to be. Just be with us in this, God. Let us be saturated in your presence while we fellowship with one another. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Find a place with the Lord.